Hello, welcome to Books on the Go, a podcast where we talk about our book of the week. I'm Anna Bailey-Karras and I'm here with Annie Waters. Hi, Annie.
Hello.
And this week we've been reading Grace Jones, a short story by Irenosen Okoji in her collection Nudie Branch. But first, book news, and the Readings Prize for New Australian Fiction has been announced, and the award has gone to Smart Ovens for Lonely People by Elizabeth Tan, which is a short story collection. Mm. Annie, tell us. Did you predict this one?
I didn't, but I hadn't been paying much attention, I must admit. There have been other things going on in my life. Yeah. But I'm thrilled that she's won. I read her first novel or novel in short stories or short story collection. It's hard to say where
story
the line
cycle.
Is.
Yeah.
Called Rubik, which has been picked up recently, I think, for the big screen, which is really interesting. And yeah, she's a writer out of Perth. I really enjoyed that first collection, so I'd be interested to see the second one. It's got a great cover.
Yes, I might add this to my Christmas wish list. Ooh. I think. And in other news, I thought we'd do a bit of an industry roundup. Mm. And the Australian book sales figures have come out, or a forecast has come out, that they think the sales will be up 4% for the 2021 financial year, but almost half of that will be from online sales. So yep. Presumably because of COVID, particularly in Australia, in Melbourne and Victoria.
Yeah, which is a big reading
They've state. Had a big lockdown. So other states have had bookstores open since, let's say, April, May, June. Mm. Well, you've been open throughout.
Yes, we have.
At mostly books. Yep. But certainly Australia-wide there is that impact. Mm. So it's just a reminder, I suppose, to all of us to support our local independent bookstores, because even though that's a great result that book sales have gone up, that's not going to help keep your stores open if people are still
little ones
shopping online. Yeah. And we all want to keep the bookstores going.
Indeed. I would also add a recommendation to do your Christmas shopping early this year. I think I've already mentioned this on the podcast, but if you're buying books, or really anything, I imagine, for Christmas this year, imagine that November is the new December. Yeah. That's our tagline. And we want everyone to shop early and shop local, because I think once things run out this year, they're just not going to be able to come back in.
They won't be replenished. So that's a good tip. Thank you. And on the bookstores and supporting the local bookstores in the UK, bookshop.org has now launched. So that's the website that they had in America, which is where you can shop online and it will come from you can nominate the local bookstore that you want to get the book from. So it's a way of supporting independent bookstores, but safely if you're in a country like the UK at the moment where you can't physically go out or go into the store, you can still support the local bookstores. And they've made a big push to do this and to try to not let all this business just go straight to Amazon.
But it's such a help for small shops as well, because running a website and keeping up an online presence is such work. And for shops that might only have one or two people running them or staffing them, there's just not the capacity often, or the technological capacity sometimes, to get that up and running.
No.
So I know we've got an online shop going this year. It's taken 6 months to do, which, you know, is a long time.
That's
and
right.
It's a lot of work. So yeah,
it's not something you can instantly switch to.
No.
In France, the bookshops are now back into lockdown for at least 2 weeks. And just a thought for Shakespeare & Co., who reported last week that their sales are down 80%. Mm. And a lot of people have been tweeting about this, because that's such an institution. It's a beloved bookstore. And it also has been such a huge support to authors over the years, over many years.
Absolutely,
since,
hundreds.
You know, Ernest Hemingway and probably before that, I imagine. Mm. And so people feel very passionately about that particular store, and it just reminds you that you can't assume these stores will be around forever just because they're famous. Mm. You know, it's hard to survive in those conditions. And France is really, like the UK,
really
back
struggling.
In a bad way.
Yeah.
So please support your local bookstores. And now on to our book of the week, which is Nudie Branch by Irenosen Okoji. And we've chosen to read the short story Grace Jones. So Irenosen Okoji is a Nigerian-British writer. She's had work published in New York Times and other publications. Her first collection, Speak Gigantula, a collection of short stories, was shortlisted for the Edgehill Short Story Award, various other awards, and nominated for a Shirley Jackson Award. She was inducted recently as a Fellow of the Royal Society of Literature as one of the 40 Under 40 initiative. And this is her next collection of short stories, Nudie Branch. And the story Grace Jones won the 2020 AKO Kane Prize for African Writing. And I think that's when it came onto our radar.
Definitely.
I will also say the book Nudie Branch has the most beautiful cover.
It's stunning.
And I just keep looking at the cover.
Mm-hmm. It's very tactile, isn't
it? Even when I'm not reading it, it is really beautiful. So I recommend buying it just to have. Just to have
just it. Just as a beautiful thing in your life. You deserve it.
An object in your home. So Grace Jones is the story of Sidra. It opens and I actually wasn't sure when the story opened if this was Grace Jones, but Sidra is an impersonator of Grace Jones. I don't think that's spoiling too much to say. Grace Jones being the Jamaican singer, model and actress and something of an icon and legend. And Sidra is going to a party. So that's the setup of the story. We don't want to spoil too much about what happens because it's a short story, so it'll really lose the impact if we spoil the plot. But we do see from the beginning that she's fragile. We have a sense that something has happened and that she's struggling with something, but we don't know what. So that just gives you that question, the intrigue, the suspense that she sustains throughout the story. We don't know the nature of her work, and then we sort of find that she is an impersonator. That's fairly early on we learn that. We're not sure why she's doing that, and there's a hint early on that she has a degree in forensics, so we get the sense this isn't something she's always done, and why is she doing this at the moment? How did she come to be doing it? And what will happen, will she go to this party? And if so, what will happen? And will she be okay? We're not, she just has that, there's that sense of her being a bit fragile. So that's the story, Grace Jones. The book Nudie Branch has been described as, Bernardine Evaristo has blurbed it and said Okojie is a dazzlingly wild, bold and imaginative writer who tells stories with captivating originality and intense drama. And Ben Okri has said read her writing for the risk, for the heart, for the imagination. It's had a lot of praise. It's one of Guardian's must-read books of 2019. And as I said, the award for this particular story, Grace Jones. What did you think, Annie?
I read short story collections very infrequently, and I think there's a certain art to reading a short story that I kind of had to remind myself how to do. So I started with a few of the earlier stories just to kind of get into her rhythm. Yeah, it's not quite what I was expecting, I think. They're quite surreal or maybe a little bit spec fiction-y. So it reminded me a bit of Carmen Maria Machado's Her Body and Other Parties, which was her first collection of stories, which I loved.
Yeah.
Even just the first couple of pages of this story, I was thinking of writers like David Mitchell, Helen Oyeyemi, N.K. Jemisin, who's a sci-fi writer, Max Porter for her use of language, Neil Gaiman, the writing is very strong.
Yes.
It's powerful, even though, as you say, you're a little bit disoriented to start with in the story about who she is, where she is, what's going on. But she maintains this level of tension throughout the story that keeps you really reading. It's quite a compulsive reading experience. The language alternates between quite lyrical, very poetic, kind of image-driven writing and slightly more prosaic, straight narrative story. And that kind of matches the jumps in time and space between this kind of her going to the party for this work event and then jumping back in time to kind of just explore what has happened to her and why she's so traumatized.
It's like she's there in body, but her head is elsewhere.
Totally. Yeah. And then also it seems like there's this other world going on, kind of existing on a different plane where there's spooky figures and collapsing boundaries. And it reminded me a bit of the film Inception, that kind of real dreamlike state, and you don't know, you can't trust anything, everything's crumbling around you. So I really was invigorated by it and really enjoyed it. The writing, I had to pull myself up a few times and kind of reread a sentence. I just want to read one of the images that she uses when she gets to the party. She says, there were three floors from what she could see, bodies everywhere, jostling, sliding and wriggling through as if they'd been let out of giant tin cans, slick and oiled in some saccharine sheen for excess, the sharp, opened can ceiling edges edging closely to their foreheads as they moved. And it just... oh my God, it's, you know, she's got this real fairy tale language, but she sees the real dark side of that, and it's kind of, grotesque in a way.
It's incredible writing, isn't it? Mm. Because, you know, if that was me, I'd be, she walked into the party.
Too many people.
There were lots of people in
hot.
The room. And, yeah, it's just incredible imagery. I had similar thoughts actually. So I thought the writing was very strong, as you say, and exactly that mix of poetic or the imagery, the really vivid imagery and sentences like that one that you just read out, but then it's firmly grounded in reality because she'll bring you back. So the very opening of it, you have this dream, almost dreamlike opening, and I might read out that sentence in a minute, but the imagery is there and you get the sense of she's sort of had a bad dream or a bad trip, or, you know, she's coming through a hangover or something like that. And then she sort of, the phone rings and the agency called, Hassan more specifically. And it's very, very earthy and grounded, and you know where you are. I loved that balance. So she gives you enough invigorating and sort of intense images, but if the whole story was like that, you'd just be like
lost.
Yeah. You'd be too dreamy. So I thought it was exceptionally well balanced, and the writing is so strong. So you know immediately she sets the scene, like she does with the party, you know, the opening of the story where Sidra's receiving this phone call. She sets the scene, you know exactly what's happening, and you immediately have a sense she's not in a good way. And I sort of had the sense she's sort of coming off a really big night, and maybe because it was called Grace Jones, and you know Grace Jones is, is a party animal, so I sort of
something immediately doesn't it?
I just thought, oh, she's had a big night, you know, struggle to get to the phone. We've all been there, you know. But that's the sense you get, and then there's the character as well. So Sidra, she's a strong character. She's a survivor, but you get a real sense of her being very fragile at the moment, and there's a disconnect between how she's presenting, obviously, as a beautiful, iconic Grace Jones, and what's going on in her head. And you start to get more about what's going on in her head as that gets revealed bit by bit. So along the way, there's the suspense of wondering, what has something happened? What's happened? Why is she doing this work? And you're worried for her and not sure how it's going to – will she go to the party and what, you know,
and
what will transpire? And then the pieces gradually come together and it's quite a gut punch.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And I think conjuring that character of Grace Jones, who is quite a volatile person, you know, she seems like so much larger than life. Having seen her – I don't know if you get to see her here in Adelaide a few years ago.
Yeah.
She is just – you know, you don't – know what to expect from her from one minute to the next, but it's going to be spectacular, whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know, even her kind of getting the wrong wig and then kind of running off stage and being like, I need the right wig. You know, she is a phenomenon, and that was at age 70 something. So imagine what she would have been like as a young person.
Yeah.
The charisma that kind of rolls off this person. So I think Sidra uses that character as someone – as a shell or as like a front to kind of slip into and kind of be this iconic, charming, attractive, charismatic person. But yeah, as you say, on the inside, she's really broken and really struggling. And it felt like part of a bigger story to me that I would love to know more. There's obviously Erin Oson has got this fleshed out in her head, and she's just giving you one little snippet.
It's compressed.
And I would love
it?
To read a novel from her and kind of see where this kind of character could be taken.
Well, I think as Bernardine Evaristo said, intense drama, and it is intense. Mm. It's compressed. So the first sentence, once the stray parts of a singed scene had found their way into the bedroom, onyx edges gleaming, and the figures without memories had lost their molten heads to the coming morning, after she'd pressed her face against the space under the doorway crying, reaching for some untouched handful of earth as sustenance, the agency called, Hassan more specifically.
Ooh, yeah, it just gives you shivers, doesn't it?
It well, is. It does now.
Yeah.
I mean, when I first read it, I could get some shivers. But when you reread it.
Yeah. Knowing what happens.
It takes a, you know, it's a story that really repays rereading.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all we'll say.
Mm.
But I don't think we can say too much more with the short story because, it, you know, we don't want to spoil anything.
Yeah.
But what an incredible collection.
Yeah.
I've read not all of them but some more of the stories apart from Grace Jones and really quite blown away by the strength of Irenosa Nkoji's writing.
And the imagination, I think.
Yes. So that is Nudie Branch by Irenosa Nkoji, and that story was Grace Jones. And coming up, I think we're going to do The Paying Guests by Sarah Waters.
At long last.
So that will be coming up. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook at Books on the Go. You can email us at booksonthegopodcast@gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram, Litzy, and Twitter at A. Bailey Karras. And Annie?
I'm on Twitter, Instagram, and Litzy at Mr. _Annie.
Great. We'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Thank you.